I was driving home from the grocery store. The radio was tuned to this station. Wanda Fisher was playing a song that I hadn't heard, but I knew what the woman was singing about. It was the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Hundreds of girls died because the doors were locked shut. They died from the fire, the smoke, or jumping from windows like people did on 9/11. You may or may not like unions, but no one who knows the history of the workers' movement can doubt the need for regulation. Without regulations, too many workers get treated like trash, locked in, poisoned, and sickened by noxious toxins and cut down by unprotected machinery. My uncle was lucky. He just lost part of an ear. Even worse, whatever profit one business can make by treating its workers like trash pushes other businesses to treat their workers like trash. That's what business means by the need to stay competitive, skimping on what they have to do for their employees. Regulation is pushback. That's why we need it, and that's why those businesses that do most of the lobbying don't. So they don't have to spend money on the people they think of as nothing more than the means to make profit. Essentially, trash. Politicians and courts have broken up the alliance among workers, white and black, by destroying the unions that united them. A large part of the decimation of unions was done through union finances, when all workers benefit from union bargaining but don't have to contribute to the union treasuries. Most people could save their dues and be free riders on the union's efforts until the union becomes unable to help because its treasury is empty. So-called right-to-work laws have done that in many states. Those laws prohibited the union shop in which everyone paid for the union services. The laws should have been called management's right-to-fleece-their-workers laws because they made the relationship between management and labor one-sided. The U.S. Supreme Court played a part in these developments, increasingly denying unions the right to charge for their services. Labor unions have lost the majority of their former strength, and most workers have no organization to support them. Without labor unions creating common agendas, workers have been much easier to divide. In past years, the Supreme Court has whittled away which unions could charge what dues and in which unions workers could opt out of paying the full union dues, even though the union had been selected as the workers' representative in negotiations. This past term of court, the Supreme Court was poised to block collection of a collective bargaining fee from government workers who took advantage of union bargaining but chose not to pay full union dues. Put that together with the court's decision in Citizens United, and you get a much clearer picture of how this court has reshaped American politics against the working man. Scalia's death blocked the court from reaching a decision on that issue, but the case will surely come back in some form now that Gorsuch is on the court. The court has not finished playing with the relative strength of workers and bosses, or of Democrats and Republicans. It's chosen a president in Bush versus Gore. It's reshaped political finance in Citizens United. So far, it's refused to touch gerrymandering, letting its Republican friends keep themselves in power, like Maduro in Venezuela or Erdogan in Turkey. We're not getting the government we deserve. We're getting what the court dictates.